Well, tonight, Pastor has given me the liberty to preach until you all fall asleep. So it's going to be a long message. Well, my name is Chris Marere. I'm from Nigeria, West Africa. Nigeria is the most populated nation in Africa, with a population of 150 million people. And the size of the land is just as a little bit smaller than Texas. So we are a crowded nation, very, very, very crowded. Also, our nation is, once dominated by a Muslim, and the Muslim ruled through the military juntas for 30 years. We were under military rule. And it was difficult at that time because the Christians were being persecuted. Christianity was under stiff watch of the military. We could not have crusades or open air. So most of our outreach were personal evangelism and so forth. But by the grace of God, we now have democracy. And God has really helped our nation, and the Christians are really brazing up, and we're seeing a lot of breakthroughs, and the church is marching on. Now the church or Christian body are not on the higher side. We are about 45% Christian, while the Muslims are about probably 30%, and then we have other religions, idol worshippers and other atheists. Now, I want to say something about myself, and the first testimony I'm going to give is going to be about me, because I knew that this church supports the man that raised me up. And I'm going to share this testimony for his credit. And that is my personal testimony. But before I do that, I want to thank Pastor Harry and Louis for their wonderful hospitality. Harry came to pick me from the airport, and I've been with them. And they're wonderful people. Thank you so much for your hospitality and your love. I really appreciate it. I'm going to share this testimony in order for you to understand my ministry back home. I was 13 years old when my dad died. And it's a common belief in my tribe that when the man dies, the woman is held responsible. In other words, if the man dies, the family believes that the wife is a witch that must have killed the husband. And so when my dad died, the family believed that she killed my father or her husband. And so what they did was to drive my mom away from the family compound. And so her children were taken from her, and she was asked to leave the family to anywhere, to a known place. I love my mom very well, and so as my mom was about to leave, I decided to see her off by carrying her bag. I was 13 years old. As we were going, we were discussing, my mom turned to me and called me, "Chris, your dad is dead, and I'm leaving. I may not see you again. But remember, one day you are going to stand before God, and you are going to give account of your life." 13 years, I didn't understand that, and I felt like, "Mom, that is wicked." So I gave her bag back, and then I bid her farewell. I turned back. And so I went back, and my uncle, my father's brother, took me in. And so I lived with my uncle, but my uncle was very mean, very hard on me. So it was a difficult time. And so my elder sister came over and took me, but I was thinking that my uncle was very mean until I came to my sister. My sister was horrible. And it's a saying we have in Nigeria, I don't know if you have it here, falling from the fry pan into fire. When I was with my uncle, I thought I was in the fry pan, but when I came to my sister, I fell from the fry pan into the fire. She was very, very wicked. She would not allow me to go to school. She made me to sell wares. I carry wares. I go around the street. And if I don't finish selling those things, I can't return home. I must sell them. And so if I must return home, I have to steal money from somebody to replace those things. I dump them away and I go home with the money. And if I can't see any money to steal, I don't have to come home. So it was really a difficult time. And the more I went through those pain, I felt like life is meaningless. There's no use to live. So I attempted suicide. I tried taking my life. The first time, I didn't die. I tried it the second time, no death. So one day I decided to say, okay, well, I have to leave the house to somewhere where maybe I will have to tie rope on a tree and just hang myself. So that fateful evening, I was just walking along the road, on the street, dirt road, when I saw a group of people, just maybe a handful of people. They were singing, clapping, no microphone, nothing, just clapping. So I said, well, let me just hang around with them. When it is dead night, I will, just kill myself. So while they were preaching, the man stood up to preach. Now, for you to understand this, I have to back up a little bit. When my mom told me that I'm going to give account of myself, I started wondering, how am I going to escape? I mean, from that period, it happened about when I was 13, and now I'm, 16. Between 13 and 16, I was having experience that I could not explain. Sometimes I see myself leaving my body and going to heaven. I saw heaven several times. But on my way to the gate of heaven, I would not be allowed to enter. And then something would push me, tumbling to hell. I would see myself falling to hell. And nothing stops me. I'm just going. As I begin to tumble close to the bottom, I will come back to myself. Sometimes I see angel. And so the fear of hell became something in my heart. Heaven is so beautiful, and I really wanted to enter, but what was keeping me? Why was it that it's easier for me to tumble into hell? So I began to search. I asked people, what can I do to avoid going to hell? At this time, Christianity, we only have Orthodox churches, Catholic, Anglican, Presbyterian. So the preaching of the Bible was not really common then. So I meet people that I knew that goes to church. I say, how can I escape the judgment? Several people would tell me, I met the first person, the second person, be born again. Then I asked them, how can I be born again? But there's no explanation. All they tell me, born again. But then I don't know how to be born again. So this continued for years. So now back to where I stopped. Now, so when the man started preaching, he preached about the cross, he preached about the blood, he preached about so many things. And at the end of his preaching, he said, if you want to be born again, if you are here tonight and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to be born again. When I heard that word, I wasn't in their midst, I was way behind. I don't know how I came to the altar before the man. All I knew that I was crying, weeping, bawling. And he prayed for those of us that came out. And after the prayer, I felt that something has changed. I felt relief. I felt peace. I felt, there was joy in my heart. I said, I believe that all is well. Jesus has come into my life. I'm born again. There's no need of killing myself again. I said, I believe that Jesus will now be my friend and he will help me. So I decided to go back home to my sister and her husband. I became a very nice boy, you know. I was cheerful, I was happy, I was, you know, doing my chores with joy. But then my elder sister looked at me and said, something is wrong with Chris. Something is wrong. She went to her husband and said, look, with the attitude of this young man, we don't understand what is going on. Something is wrong. We don't think that this house will accommodate him again. So my sister and her husband decided to throw me out of the house. I was driven out of the house. No father, no mother, no house. For 1 year, I was a street boy, but with Jesus. 1 year, homeless, hopeless, on the street. But what was the thing that was keeping me? I believe that it was Jesus, because I have a destiny to fulfill. Then I didn't know, but now I know. While I was on the street, I met a missionary from Sierra Leone, Africa. He took me in, and I was with him, ministering, going out for evangelism and doing all sorts of things, until a missionary that came from the United States met him, and he told him that I needed some help. I needed some young men that could help me do one or two things. So the black missionary from Africa came to me and other boys and told us that there's a missionary that needed some help, will mind to help. So of course, we have nothing doing, so we went, helped him, did a lot of his manual, every needs that he had, we helped him. The first day, some of the young men felt like, well, he had to pay, whatever. So they left. But I was faithful. I went back to him to continue. The first day, the second day, 1 week, 1 month, going on. I think in the process of time, he realized that there's something unique about my life. He called me and said, Chris, I sense that the calling of God is upon your life. Now, in all this, I labor to pay myself through high school. I do menial job, I do all kind of things, just because I just believe that there is something about life for me. So I was working so hard to pay myself. No father, no mother, no, you know. So when he saw me, he said, there is something about you. If I am willing, that he'll be willing to disciple me and help me. Well, I didn't understand everything, but I said, well, whatever the Lord wants me to do, I will do. And whatever the Lord has for me, he should have his way. So he took me and started discipleship program. And finally, he sent me to the school, seminary school, graduated. And the person I'm talking about is Rick Whitcomb. This church is supporting him. He's a missionary that came to Africa 1981, and we have been together since we met. We have been friends, family for over 30 years. I'm sharing this testimony to let you know that your support, your giving, has made it possible for him to be in Africa. And the man standing here today is a product of your investment. Your giving is never in vain. Many lives have been touched by this man. And I'm so glad to know Harry and to know that you support Whitcomb. And so, my life is what it is today because of your giving. And I'm standing here to want to say thank you. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your support. 1995, Whitcomb decided to leave our nation because of some issues, some circumstances that rose up in the country and among those that he placed in position. So he left the country to go to another country in Africa called Ghana. I went to him, I told him that, sir, he wants me to come with him to Ghana because we were like peanut butter and bread, inseparable. So nothing separates us. So So I went to him, I said, please, I would love to come with you to Ghana, but I felt that there is something in my heart that is burning for my people in Nigeria. Now, you can bear witness with me that what my mom went through is not godly, it's not God. It is demonic, it's devil. And so my people are under the influence of satanic power. And I felt I don't need to go to a different country to evangelize them while my country is in darkness. So I told him, please, will you mind pray and bless me and release me if God told you to, so that I could start something. So 1995, after prayer, he called me and prayed, and we started a ministry called Agape World Outreach, still connected. Agape World Outreach was established, and the burden is to reach the unreached. Our goal is to plant churches in the villages where nobody wants to go. So most of our churches are in the village, in the rural area. We go to places where witch doctors has been dominating us, the lord of the village. The joy we have is that when we go there with the preaching of the gospel, it is so sweet to see how, when the light comes, it's like turning, flipping up your electricity in the midst of darkness. Wow! And it is so joyful to see native doctor, witch doctors coming to the knowledge of Christ, coming, bringing their idols, and we burn them, and planting churches, and a village that was once in darkness, now in the light. They may not have, they don't have electricity, they don't have pipe-borne water, no road, but they have the light of the gospel. It is a thing of joy in our heart as we do that. I remember one day, I went to one of the village churches to preach one Sunday. It was a heavy raining season. It was a monsoon period. We could not actually drive into the village, so we packed our car, we walked. We have to swim through water. After my message, we came back. On our way coming back, I saw the villagers going to the same route that we went through. They took water in their bucket. They were going home. So out of curiosity, I just asked them, what are you doing with this water? And one of them told me that is their domestic water. That's what they use for cooking. It was like, you use the dirty water for cooking? Yes. For 5 minutes, I could not speak. It was like something held me captive. While I was standing there, I heard a voice, Chris, give them water. I said, God, what do you mean, give them water? I said, yes. And the Lord said, go to the village, dig a well for them. From that very experience, God gave us a ministry called Give Me a Drink. It is taken from the book of John chapter 4, where Jesus told the Samaritan woman, give me water to drink. And Jesus said, I will give you, So we started digging wells. So a ministry that is added to the preaching of the gospel that we're doing is digging of wells. But this village people that does not have pipe-borne water, no electricity, and no road. Now our nation, 150 million people, less than 40% have access to clean water. More than 60% drink from the surface water. And so there are a lot of diseases, cholera, and diarrhea and those things. And then our Medicare is so expensive. And so people die daily from cholera, from diarrhea, because of, dirty water. And then because they don't have access to Medicare, nobody tells them that the water they are drinking is bad. So we see that it is responsibility of the church to not only preach the gospel, but also provide the needs for the people. So we do not only preach, we go to villages, we dig well, and then we provide the word of God. So our ministry is doing great. We have 16 branches in the villages, and then I have my own city church that I pastor in a city called Warri with about 500 membership. Now, our country is rich with oil, but there's so much corruption that the people are living under $2 a day, under $2. It is very, very hard. When I come to America and see the great things, the blessings and everything that God has given to this nation, you know, it's just God. I mean, a brother was asking me this evening, I came in, I said, the difference between America and my country is like night and day. You are so blessed, and that nation is so poor. It's like we are 50 years behind you. And one of the things that God spoke to me was that God has blessed this nation to be a blessing to other nations. God did not give this nation all this wealth and all this blessing just for us to lavish on ourselves. See, you may not understand this. Those of us that are in the third world country and the Muslim world country, you understand this. See, America is a big brother to the whole world. Now, in the Muslim community, Saudi Arabia is a big brother to them. And Saudi Arabia is pumping money to all these nations, and their goal is to take over the world. My country, the goal of Saudi Arabia and Iran is to make sure that the country is taken over by Muslims so that they can, through Nigeria, take over Africa. Now, the money they are pumping in to propagate Islamic message is so much. When I look at the American churches and how greedy they are, it hurts me. And I believe it hurts the heart of God. I believe that there are churches. I mean, look at what this church, Life Restoration, right? I mean, with your size and your faithful giving to support missionary, I wish the bigger churches, all that churches, would give more. I believe that the preaching of the gospel will be more easier in the third world country. But I bless God for what God is doing in our ministry. We not only dig well, we also have a ministry called abortion, post-abortion trauma. There are people in my country that, you know, go through abortion. Abortion is not legal in my country, but there are people who go through it and they keep it secret, but the weight of the what they did will remain as a scar in their life. So we created a ministry where we open our doors to them. Anyone that went through abortion, we try to help them to recover from the shock and try to restore them back to the society. So there are so much to do in Africa. There's so much, but the means is very little. And so we just thank God that we, by His grace, are doing as much as we can. And that is one of the reasons I believe God wanted me to come to America, to solicit and to meet churches, to join forces with friends who will come alongside to be a blessing with us in Africa. Some may come, some may not. But those who cannot go, they can give. So that is one of my reasons of coming to Africa, to meet churches and to raise funds to help us to do the work that He has given us to do. In addition to asking friends, churches, to support us, I also feel that God wants me to be a voice to speak on His behalf also. So I go to churches to preach and also to tell my name. So when Pastor told me this afternoon that I will come here to share my testimony, I also feel like God would want me to share a little bit of his word to us. One of the problems I actually have, I told the church last Sunday, I said, I'm not good at narrating my need. I feel more that the word of God should be preached. So I take more delight in preaching than talking about me, and me. Amen? But I believe that there are needs here that need to be met, which I must also share with people. But tonight, I want to share a couple of things with us. I believe that will bless us. God gave me this message recently, and it has been burning in my heart like a fire. And I want to share it with us. I believe that the world is going through a lot. The Lord spoke to me that I want to do new thing in the church. I want to do new thing with my body. I believe that we are entering a season. This morning, Pastor was sharing with me some revelation God gave to him. And in my heart, I was just in my God. That is partly what God is speaking to my heart. I believe we are entering a season, not only in the global war. Everything we see that is happening in the world today is a reflection of what is happening in the spirit. We look around our society, everything we see is taking its bearing. First natural, then the spirit. Whatever we see with our eyes today takes its root from the spiritual realm. I believe in the spiritual realm, there is a birth pain. Something is groaning to be released. Revival, we need revival. And the Lord spoke to me that I want to do new thing. And this new thing will begin from the church, from our life. And so that is what I'm going to share with us this evening as we turn to the book of Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. I titled my preaching or teaching new thing or a new thing. God is taking us to a new level. Matthew chapter 21, reading from verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the table of the money changers and seats of those who sold those. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant or angry, and said to him, do you hear what they are saying? And Jesus said unto them, yes, have ye never read that out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have perfect praise? Father, I want to ask that you speak through me tonight. I have said so much about me and what is happening in Nigeria. Father, I want to pray, God, that you will speak your word to your people, even through this vessel that is standing. Take all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I continue, I also want to let you know that there is so much persecution going on. In my country right now, there's so much persecution. As we are gathering like this, some places in Nigeria, the Muslim will come, douse it with gasoline, lit it up with fire, while the people are worshiping in the church. Burn the church down, you know, or sometimes a Muslim will dress like me, with bombs strapped all around him. He comes to the congregation, while the congregation are worshiping, trigger everything, everybody dies. So there's a lot of persecution. The Muslim are bombing churches, killing Christians, doing all kinds of things. So please, we need your prayer. It does not be easy. It's not easy living a life of Christianity in my country. If you go out, you are not too sure if you are coming back home. If your wife goes out, you have to pray, God, please protect her. If your children goes to school as Christian, you have to pray. If you go out and you come back home safe, praise God, because you never know what will happen. You never can tell. It is difficult living for God in some areas in my country. So please, we need your prayers. Now, back to the passage we just read. We saw in this passage five things that Jesus brought into the temple. Now, we are reading in the scripture here, we saw the temple. But to me, the temple here is not just the building. Jesus said, Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that we are the temple of God. So as we read this passage, I want us to understand that it is not just the building the Bible is talking about. It's talking about you and I, because we are the temple of God. So in this passage, Jesus Christ brought five things into the temple then, which he also wants to bring into our lives. The first thing Jesus brought is found in verse 12. The Bible said Jesus went into the temple. What was it? The first thing Jesus brought was his presence. He brought his presence into the temple. And I believe that as we are expecting new things, as God is about to do new things in our society around us, the first thing that Jesus wants to do is to bring his presence into our lives. Jesus wants to bring his presence. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 5, verse 15, that without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus in our lives, we cannot live Christianity. We cannot be a testimony. You see, that is one of the reasons why the Christians in America are not really standing up the way they should. People proclaim themselves to be Christian because they were born into a Christian family. Christianity is not just because you were born into a Christian family. Christianity is a personal relationship. You have to have Jesus in our life. It is not just going to church. It's not just being a member of a church. Jesus must be Lord of our life. Now, the Bible said that Jesus entered the temple. I believe that for the new thing that God wants to do in our planet, in our society, Jesus wants to reign and rule as Lord in our life. He wants to bring his presence into our life. It is no longer just religious activity. It is not the norms of the day. It is not that I go to church. We want to become the carrier of Jesus. We become the house that house his presence. See, all this time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they have the temple, but the temple was without Jesus. So the temple became just a religious norm. But the Bible said when Jesus Christ came, he brought his presence. The Bible said also in the book of Exodus chapter 33, look at the life of Moses. Moses was a man that saw God. Moses saw so much miracle. You know, Exodus chapter 33, God told Moses, the Israelites have sinned so much that I will not go with them into the promised land. I will give my angels to go with you all. But look at Moses. Moses knew God so much that Moses went to God and said, God, we appreciate your angel, but Lord, we need your presence to go with us. I believe that we are entering the season right now that the church becomes so desperate. Believers should become so desperate that just activity is not enough. We need the presence of Jesus in our lives. It is the presence of Jesus in our life that makes a difference. I can stand here to talk today. I can be in my country to do whatever I'm doing. It is not by my power. It is the grace and the presence of the Lord that gives me the enablement, the ability to stand even in the face of death, the face of persecution, the face of obstacle. I can stand to declare other brethren in my country. I believe America needs more of Jesus. The church needs Jesus. We need his presence. His presence makes the difference. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 16, verse 11, that in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. The presence of God brings joy. Joy never comes from materialism. Joy never comes from the abundance of things you have. You may be glad. Gladness and joy are not the same. Gladness is influenced by the things you have, but joy is a spontaneous thing that flows from your heart. And so it is only the life of Jesus Christ that can give you joy. Joy that flows regardless of whatever that is happening around you. And so he said that in my presence, when you come into my presence, when you have my presence will give you a joy that will keep you going, even when the goings are tough. Amen? Moses asked for the presence of the Lord. We need to ask for the presence of the Lord in our journey. The presence of God also brings deliverance. When the presence of God is in your life, the devil cannot hold you captive. There is a saying I always tell my people in Nigeria. I believe here, you guys, many churches don't even believe that Satan exists. To me, that is, I can't believe that. If there is God, there is a devil. If we believe that there is God, then where is Satan? Satan is in the third world. No, Satan is everywhere. It's the same devil everywhere. Amen. But I tell my people this, that if you want to keep flies, you call it flies? Flies. If you want to keep flies from your stove, now let me go back. If you cook food, you cook stew, and the stew boils, and splash into the stove, fall into the stove, and then you remove the stew, you off the stove. When the stove is off, flies will come and begin to eat from the stove, right? Swamp of fly. Now, how do you keep the fly away from the stove? If you bring, how you call it, insecticides. You call it insecticides? And you spray, what happened? The fly will back up, okay, for a while. But when the fly back up, the flies will go and call their uncles, their cousins, their nieces. They will come back again. Now you can spray and spray, but they will always be multiplying. But if you want to keep them away, all you need to do is to clean the stove or you light the stove. As long as the stove is burning, flies cannot come. The flies are like demons. As long as your life is burning for the Lord, demons cannot land on your head. Amen. You can use religious thing to spray yourself. When the breeze is gone, they will come back again. So, now there is a case in the Bible, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. Now, because of time, I'll give you different references. You can read it yourself. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. The ark of the Lord was captured by the Philistine. The ark of the Lord represents the presence of the Lord. And so the ark of the Lord was captured by the Philistine. They brought the ark before their god called Dagon. 1 Samuel chapter 5. And they laid the ark at the foot of Dagon. And they went home. At night, God shows up and Dagon fell flat. The following morning, when the worshiper came, they saw Dagon on the ground. They said, oh, maybe it's accident. So they took Dagon, they erected him, did all their sacrifice, they went. The following morning when they came back, Dagon was on the floor, headless, no hand, no leg, chopped off by the presence of the Lord. And the Philistine said, something is not right. They have to remove the ark. What does that translate? Where the presence of God is, demons, devil cannot stand. There is deliverance that comes with the presence of the Lord. When the presence of God comes into my life, your life, the devil cannot rule. You have deliverance. Amen? You have deliverance from oppression, deliverance from the devil, deliverance from anything that the enemy will throw on you. So the first thing he brought was his presence. His presence also brings blessings. You remember the account of David. David in the book of 2 Samuel. Am I too fast? That's what I'm teaching my church. 2 Samuel chapter 6. David took the ark from the forest where it was kept and was bringing the ark to the city of David. In between, while David was praising, the ark was to be carried by the priest, but the ark was made to be carried by the oxen. And the oxen shook, and a man among them called Uzzah tried to help God, and the man died. David said, I will not take this ark to my house. It is dangerous. What happened? The ark was taken to Obed-Edom's house, right? The ark was taken to Obed-Edom's house. Within 3 months of the ark staying with Obed-Edom, the Bible said God blessed Obed-Edom beyond measure. I believe that the presence of God brings blessings. You cannot have the presence of the Lord in your life and still remain in bondage. The presence of God brings liberty. The Bible said the Spirit of God is the Spirit of liberty. It brings freedom and it brings blessings. So the first thing that the Lord wants to bring into our life is His presence. The second thing we see that He brought into the temple was purity. The Bible said in verse 12b that He cleansed the temple. Where the presence of God is, there's liberty, but there's also holiness. God wants to bring into our life purity, holiness. The Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see God. Without holiness. I know this is like old-fashioned preaching. I believe strongly, if the church must see revival, we have to go back to the Bible. We must go back to the Bible. We must preach the whole holistic message of Jesus. We need holiness in the church. We need holiness in our life. So the presence of God bring purity, holiness. The Bible said that in that day, the people mix religion with worship. They brought goats, they brought change of money. It was a merchandise, it was a place of business, but there was no presence of the Lord, and there was no purity. But when Jesus came with His presence, the first thing He did was to remove the impurity. When Jesus comes into our lives, the first thing He does is to make us clean before the Father. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I tell people this, please. I know we are few, but listen to this. This is my pain. The tragedy today is not the sin of the sinner. The tragedy today is not the sin of the sinner. You know what it is? The sin of the church. It is not the sin of the sinner that bothers God. It is the sin that has been committed in the church. I believe Jesus wants to cleanse His church. Jesus wants to return back His church as His church. A church without spot or wrinkle. A church of holiness. Number one, Jesus brought His presence. Number two, He brought purity. Number three, He brought prayer. I was so blessed when I saw this gathering this evening praying. I mean, my God, would to God that prayer would be restored back in the church again. We have so many activities, little time for prayer. Jesus wants to bring back prayer. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Remember, I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about you. God wants our heart to become a place of prayer. He wants intimacy. He wants us to have intimate relationship with Him. He wants us to have communion with Him. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to talk back to Him. Prayer is not religious act. Prayer is relationship. God wants to bring us back to a place of intimacy. So He brought prayer into His house. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. As God is preparing to bring us to a new level, He wants also to develop a heart and habit, an attitude of prayer in our life. Number four, He brought power. Verse 14, the Bible said, then the blind and the lame came in to Jesus, in the temple, and He healed them. How many were healed in the days of the Pharisees? None. In fact, the lame and the blind were kept away from the temple in the days of the Pharisees. But when Jesus came into His temple, they were welcome. And when they came, He healed them. The lame may not be just a physical lame. There could be people who come to the church wounded. People who are traumatized. People who have problems. But God wants to use you and I to be able to become a blessing, to bring healing, to bring blessing to people. Amen. So Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer, but also is a house of power. Finally, the fifth thing that Jesus brought into the temple, which he wants to bring into our life, is a new level of praise. Number one, he brought his presence. Number two, he brought purity. Number three, he brought prayer. Number four, he brought power. And number five, praise. My house shall be called a house of praise. Judah. Amen. Amen. I believe strongly that Jesus wants to raise up a high praise. I'm telling you, I've been to several churches. I'm not flattering you. I've been to several churches. Not too many, though, but enough to know. I mean, to watch us lifting up our hands and worshiping God this evening. Thank God we have some instruments, but it was just the keyboard that was playing. But there was that worship that was lifted. It is not mechanized. It's not, professional, but it is true worship. I believe the Bible said the glory of the latter day shall be greater than the former. I believe this is the season God wants us to give a spontaneous praise unto him, a praise that is not tied to anything, a praise that flows from the belly of our heart to him. The Bible says, out of the belly of him who believes shall flow rivers of living water, which include praise. I believe God is bringing us a place where we offer him high praise, worship, honor, giving him what is due to him. He brought his presence. If there's anything the Lord is really wanting to do in our life, is to bring his presence. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be there. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any, he's not going to force himself. He's knocking. He wants to come in. He wants to be with us. See, when Jesus comes into my life, brings his presence to my life, he brings his presence into your life and everyone here, when we come together cooperatively, we bring of life of Jesus together and there is Holy Ghost move in our midst. He wants to indwell us. When we go out to the mall, when we go out, we carry him. We become a vehicle that carries Jesus and become a blessing to whosoever that we come in contact with. He wants to bring his presence. He wants to purify us. He wants us to be pure before him. He wants to bring prayer. He wants to bring power. We want to see results, miracles happening in our life. And he wants to bring high praise back into our life. Just lift up your hand and say, Lord, we love you, Lord Jesus. Praise in him. Hallelujah. God bless you.